Peter, the Apostle Peter, was an interesting guy. He's an amazing guy. Sometimes I read some of the stuff he said, and it seems to me sometimes his mouth would go faster than his brain. It's kind of impulsive, but he arose as kind of a leader among the apostles. And then on the day of Pentecost, he preached that great sermon where 3,000 souls were added to the church. Afterwards, he was one of the main leaders in the early church. He's the one that God revealed to that, hey, the Gentiles are invited also. This isn't just a Jewish thing. Today, we're finishing a sermon series on Peter's last writing recorded in Scripture, 2 Peter. He wrote it while in a Roman prison, shortly before his death. And in this letter, he mentions that he knew that he had little time left on earth. So he put important material in his last letter. Wouldn't you do the same? If you knew you were at the end, your passing was imminent, and you're writing your last letter, at least the last one recorded in Scripture, wouldn't you put in the stuff you felt was most important? So we've done a whole series. Well, we did a series a year and a half ago on 1 Peter, and now we're finishing a series on 2 Peter. Today we're going to cover his final exhortations to the church. The last five verses. Thank you. You read my mind. 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Anytime you see the word therefore, you have to remember that means that logically this is following something else. And it's really following what we talked about last week. The day of the Lord, the promise of his coming, where he talks about the elements dissolving and melting. And then there's new heavens and a new earth. So with that in mind, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, that's what we're waiting for, that's what we are waiting for, for new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. Be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Aren't you tired of all the evil in the world today? How about the killing? So many mass murders. Uvalde, Buffalo, and earlier. So many violent deaths and other acts of violence in major cities, Chicago included. The war in Ukraine slogs on and people are suffering and dying. Listen, since we know, since new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells will put an end to all this misery, it really is worth waiting for. So what should we do about it while we're waiting? The answer is in the second half of this verse. Be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Be diligent. Work at it. Some people are diligent at their jobs and they tend to do well. Some people are diligent at their hobbies and they enjoy them a lot. People are diligent at various things, but while we're waiting for what's coming, when everything is going to be made right, and the misery will come to an end, we need to be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish. Peter starts the letter with instructions for being found by him without spot or blemish. And we're just going to briefly review something we covered eight weeks ago, I think. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, he's not spending any time on this, but he's talking about faith, he's talking about righteousness, he's talking about grace. And that is the foundation of being found without spot or blemish. If you don't have faith in Jesus and obtained grace so that God views you as righteous, You're not even in the game. You have no hope of being found without spot or blemish. Furthermore, being found in Christ is not the end of your journey. Some people think, well, I'm saved now. That's it. Well, if that was it, why didn't he just take you? Then and there. No, there's more to it. That's the beginning of your journey. That's where it all starts. So he briefly talks about this at the beginning, and then he continues on. He builds on that base. And I'm just going to read this rapidly, this next few verses, next eight verses or so. We covered them in some detail several weeks ago, but I just want to pass them by you again for your review. These are the following verses. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So through the promises, which we talked some about earlier, we become partakers of the divine nature. That is, without spot and blemish. That's among those qualities of the divine nature. Then he instructs us to supplement our faith, which is once again the starting point, supplement our faith with qualities that will keep us from being ineffective or unfruitful in our lives. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent, there's that word again, to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you'll never fall. For in this way, they'll be richly provided for you an entrance in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, we should move on here. Therefore, beloved, coming back to where we were, therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Diligent and at peace. This isn't a pressure situation. This isn't stressful. Our instructions as we wait are to be at peace. There's two ways to be at peace. One is at peace in yourself. So many people are looking for peace in themselves. They want a sense of peace in their hearts. And that is a godly inclination to want peace. For we're instructed to have peace, to be at peace. In Colossians chapter 3, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We're called to peace. And so we don't have time to develop this, but let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. A major part of that is being at peace with God. You never can really be at peace in yourself until you're at peace with God. If you are not at peace with God, the best you can do is to have the peace that the world has, which isn't saying much. But the peace of God, we're instructed to let that rule in our hearts. That's the first way of having peace, peace in ourselves. But also, the scripture talks about being at peace with others. It's not just our relationship with ourselves and our relationship with God. We want peace. We are instructed to have peace with others. In Hebrews chapter 12, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. This isn't kind of a passive stance. Well, I hope everyone's at peace with me. No, this is you and I striving for that peace with others. Not just sitting back, striving for peace with everyone. That includes people that you don't even like. Strive for peace with them. That includes people who don't like you. Strive for peace with them. Now, that's something that's sometimes not easy to strive for, but we should strive for peace with everyone. Now, you and I may not be successful in our striving for peace with everyone. In Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You know, for two people to be at peace with each other, it really takes them both. And you can't make that other person do anything. They're an individual, and you can't make them be at peace with you, but you could be at peace with them. You and I need to just take care of our end of business. Take care of business on our end and live peaceably with all. And so while we're waiting for everything to be made right, at least in terms of relationships, we should be striving and doing as much as we can, as much as possible, to create peace in ourselves with God and with others. And then leave the rest to Him. If you're doing these things, waiting and being diligent and being at peace, it may seem like the new heavens and new earth are kind of slow in coming. You know, when you're striving for something, you can kind of maybe get a little tired sometimes. If it seems slow, we're going to review a passage from last week. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Patience. He's not slow, He's patient. Our salvation depended on His patience for us. Aren't you glad that He was patient and didn't condemn you before you reached repentance? I mean, He was patient. He was patient with you and I. Our salvation depended on His patience. So let us have patience for the Lord's patience for others. If it seems like it's taking a long time, don't get grumbly or whiny about it. Have patience for the Lord's patience for others. It's a good thing. Oh, brother. I forgot a verse. You know, I audited it, and I've missed my audit also. Here's verse 15 and 16. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. So there, once again, he's mentioning patience there. There's three things in verse 16 that I'd like to point out. Peter acknowledges them. Number one, that Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote Scripture. Peter recognized this. The idea that someone dreamed up the idea of much later that, well, let's make all this stuff Scripture and change the faith. No, there was some understanding at the time that these letters were written that Scripture was being written. The first Scriptures in a long, long time. There was a long period of silence. But there was a recognition that Scripture is equivalent to what was contained in what we call the Old Testament was being created at that time. Number two, some of those Scriptures are hard to understand. Years ago, we did a sermon series in here, the hard sayings of the Bible. And there are some hard sayings. There's some things that are hard to understand. Jesus himself said some hard things. In John chapter 6, he said some hard things to his disciples. Now, he had a lot of disciples at that point. John chapter 6. Sometimes you just think of the 12. No, that was a larger set, much larger set. This is how he reacted to some of the things that he told them. We're not going to get into what he told them. Here it is. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" In other words, what is this? Who can hear this? This is not understandable. This doesn't make sense. And then Jesus said a few more things to them, and this was their reaction. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Now, it doesn't say how many of his disciples took a hike and left, but it says many. I mean, many sounds like a lot. It sounds like more than a few. They didn't get it, and so they were out of there. Now, the impact on Jesus, I understand a little bit how Jesus may have felt. When people just leave for whatever reason, they can affect you. And he says to the last 12, "Are you guys going too?" I mean, at times he spoke to big crowds, and I don't know how many disciples he had, but many. And they took off. Primarily because they didn't understand what he was talking about. They couldn't digest the spiritual food he was giving, and so they kind of threw up and left. And you know, the same thing happens today. There's people who don't understand things, and they're like, "I'm out of here. I really don't understand why there's so much suffering, or why God allows that to continue. Or I don't understand why this has happened to me. Or I don't understand how this has happened to a loved one. Or I don't get it. So I'm deconstructing my faith and I'm out of here." This very same thing happens. The challenge for us is the same as the challenge for the 12. And that is, even if we don't really get everything, even if we don't really understand everything, we stay with him. We stay with Jesus. If it doesn't make sense, you stay with Jesus. If you think you can come up with a better way, realize that you really can't. But stay with Jesus. He knows, he's a lot smarter than you, and he knows the future. He knows a lot more than you and I. We stay with him, just like these guys stayed with him and didn't bail. That's what I'm trying to do. There are lots of things I don't understand that I really don't get. And I think about them, I pray about them, and I still don't get them. But I know this. I'm staying with him. As we sang, he came to rescue you and I, and I'm staying with that rescue. I have a wonderful life preserver tossed to me. I'm not going to swim away from it. No. I challenge you to do the same. Even if you don't understand, stay with it. Stay with it. Don't bail. Don't leave like they did, like some of them did. All right, verse 16 again. As he does in all his letters, when he speaks in them of these matters, there are some things in them that are hard to understand, that the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. The ignorant, this is point number three, by the way, point number three. The ignorant and unstable twist some scriptures to their own destruction. Too bad for them. When they twist scripture and talk about it, Then they become false teachers. We spend 3 weeks covering false teachers because Peter, in the second letter, spent a lot of time talking about false teachers. That was a problem then. It's a problem now. Well, what should we do about it? The next verse. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. Don't get carried away. You will hurt yourself if you do. How? You'll be accepting the error of lawless people. If you really love truth, you can't be accepting error. How else will you hurt yourself? You will lose your own stability. And if you lose your stability, you have a big problem. You and I would have a big problem. A big problem with becoming unstable is found in the previous verse. There's the previous verse at the end, which there are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. If you are unstable, you are setting yourself up to twist scriptures to your own destruction. If you're unstable, you're liable to goof things up and twist them to your own destruction. Being unstable, you now qualify to twist scriptures to your own destruction. Twisting scripture makes you unstable. So then you twist scripture, which makes you more unstable, and then you twist more scripture. The circle is complete, and you've become part of it. It's not so much a circle as it is a downward spiral. The unstable twist the scriptures, which makes them unstable, and they twist the scriptures, and it makes them more unstable. And so it spins out of control, and what may seem to be minor errors at the start can grow and get bigger and bigger. And I'm telling you, that happens to people. They'll jump the rails by a little bit. Before you know it, they're way off track in major issues. It's tragic to see. May you and I never walk that way. But maintain our stability and handle the scriptures well. Okay. Takeaways from Peter's final exhortations here, 4 of them. Be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish. Be diligent, even if you don't understand. Be diligent to start in faith and continue in faith, to supplement your faith, and to press on and be diligent, being found without spot or blemish. Remember, it all starts with grace through faith. And then believe the promises mentioned in chapter 1 by which we become partakers of the divine nature. When you find a promise in the Bible that applies to you, grab it for yourself. And then supplement your faith with the qualities mentioned in chapter 1, that's the reason I read that stuff earlier. Those qualities, supplement your faith with those, and they'll keep you from being unfruitful. Don't you really want a fruitful life? And not waste it? Not come to the end and it's like, well, not much fruit there. But at least I had a good time. Well, that's not as important as having some good fruit. Okay, number 2. Be at peace. Be at peace with God. Be at peace in yourself. And be at peace with others. Let His peace rule in your heart. And be at peace with others as much as you are able. And that last statement has become very countercultural today. To be at peace as much as you are able. Seems like the goal of more and more people is to see how much they can get enraged at others and insult them and put them down. Beloved, you and I shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be striving to be at peace. Not throwing gasoline on the fire, but at least try to find the fire extinguisher. If you find it, praise God. If you can't for that particular situation, well, at least you tried. Okay, the third takeaway. Don't be carried away by false teachers. Much of 2 Peter deals with false teachers. Don't be carried away with the error of lawless people. And especially, don't become unstable and become one yourself. Okay, the fourth takeaway. You have to go to the last verse in this letter, which we haven't mentioned yet. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That should be our goal. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What we have in the scriptures is not cleverly devised myths, but reality. Not virtual reality, not pretend reality, but real reality. And so we have an opportunity to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, to Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Please rise. Peter closes with that, and so will we.